right here.
The late Winston Mankunku Ngozi of South Africa, obviously heavily influenced by the great John Coltrane. This is a tune called Dedication. And it was written at the peak of the apartheid era. It's from his 1968 album, Yakal Inkomo, in protest of apartheid. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and a couple of advisories, which I can't ignore. I have to talk about them. You'll be hearing some noise in the background, both today and tomorrow, because there's a massive preparation here, and it happens every year, where the trees are pruned and dead limbs removed and all of that kind of stuff is done. And it is never-ending noise. So I've done everything possible to attenuate the noise by putting, you know, towels and bed sheets and whatnot in between the window panes and the outside world to just bring the noise level down so that it would at least be tolerable. But this is going to be the case for today and tomorrow. Of course, we didn't have very much warning, but this is life. It's amazing, though, and this is an interesting thing about Florida, where this kind of work is deemed routine maintenance. You have to take care of the trees and the hedges and the lawn, the landscaping generally. It's a big business here. And the sad thing is I do not see, you know, a lot of people taking advantage of that and opening up their own businesses, taking care of lawns and pruning of trees and whatnot, because there's a lot of work to do. And it is a rare thing. I see some crews, predominantly Latino, but even so, they're not that plentiful that you could say, hey, you know, it's part of our landscape. You have the landscape and you have the landscapers. But it is a big business, and because of that, I can tell there's a great deal of competition, and so people are locked out of it. So that was a long way of telling you, please be prepared that during the course of our program today, we may be done in by noise. Alrighty. Well, we have yet another chapter, and it's getting to be really, I realize it because I thought about it. Why am I so agitated? Why am I so annoyed these last few days? Okay, some people say, why are you more annoyed? You know what it is? I feel angry as a citizen of this country. And I feel increasingly angry based on where the country is going. And it seems as if people just can't, they can't come to a conclusion about anything. We have nothing but lawyers in Congress. Everybody and their grandmam is a lawyer in Congress. And for the life of me, they can't figure these things out. Such as, what do you do with this president? And the way he has gone about the business of governance. You don't have to be a lawyer to see immediately what your options are. But these folks are dragging their feet and they're making the matter so complicated. It's not that complicated. There are allegations that he is breaking the law in many critical areas. He's doing whatever he wants to do, and he has transferred that attitude to his administration. Everybody's doing what they want to do. And the primary thing they want to do is make money, which means that they abuse the power and authority that they have, just like the president has. Abuse the heck out of your power and authority, go for broke, because the worst case scenario is you get thrown out. The best case scenario is you get to stay, but in either case, you're making money like you've never made before. And everybody associated with you has that attitude. Your children, members of your cabinet, not cabinet, but you know what I mean. Members of your circle, you appointed them to do certain things. Everybody's on the make. And they don't care now whether you know or not, because they're all in this. And Trump, oddly enough, as a way of protecting himself, is giving them wide berth to do whatever they want to do. Just as long as you don't scare the horses, you can do whatever it is you want to do, within reason. Understanding, of course, my name is Trump, I am the president, I make the most money. I'm the boss. This fundamental insult, I take personally. And more so because he's directing it not just at me, he's directing it at the nation. He's giving the whole nation the finger. I could do whatever I want to do. Well, the latest thing he wants to do is go to war. He's always imagined himself having his own spectacular little war. And look, the opportunity has come along. Now, this is what is angering me. He just ordered troops, right? Troops are, sending Saudi Arabia bodies to protect Saudi Arabia. He wasn't asked. At least he didn't say he was asked. And secondly, that is not how the president goes about doing a thing like that. You come to Congress. You make your case for beefing up U.S. presence in the region. there's only one case he could make, and that is, hey, they have oil, and we need them. So we're going to protect them, no matter whether they're right or wrong, whether their charges are legitimate or not. We're going to back them, which is automatically an escalation in a situation that ultimately would lead to war. It's not that it can't be prevented. Nobody sat down to talk about any of this because it doesn't matter. He has his idea of how the world should work, and it should work according to him. And in the middle of all of this, he is cutting right through all kinds of requirements and precedents, and saying, this is how I'm going to do it. I should talk to Congress? Really? I don't like them. I don't want to talk to them. There's no need. I've already made up my mind what I am going to do. And here is the Congress, with hundreds of years, if you want to even get closer to a number, it would be in the thousands of years, put all together, of experience and expertise in legislating. And they're sitting like a bunch of people who are without the ability to do anything. The man just made up his mind. I'm in charge here. I could do whatever I want. I'm escalating the problem. We are not, as I understand it, I do not know the United States has had a long-standing relationship with Saudi Arabia so that there's some kind of a pact between both countries that if Saudi Arabia is attacked, the U.S. is compelled to respond, and vice versa. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we have a special bond that in the event of something like this, where the Saudi Arabian government is attacked, U.S. taxpayer money, and Saudi has a heck of a lot more than we do, but U.S. taxpayer money is going to underwrite whatever military adventures are required. I didn't know that. And that you don't have to consult Congress about any of this. You just do it. And you see the result. Congress is just sitting there waiting to see, well, you know, we wish he wouldn't do that. We wish he would behave differently. You know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is the United States of America, where all these blatantly illegal things are being done every single day. Trump tries something new and it sticks. Without a fight. And you say, what has this country come to? Where everybody's doing their own thing, except the people. The people aren't doing their own thing. And it has become a kind of sordid game where we all sit quietly in a corner somewhere and we wait for the next shoe to drop. And it will certainly drop on us. And we have nobody, really, because they're arguing among themselves. They're not arguing the law. They're not arguing what's in the interest of the people. It's egos involved, and it is all kinds of things about how do we soothe this beast of a president that we have. We just need him to be quiet and to behave. That's not going to happen. And he brings us closer and closer to Armageddon. Is that what we're waiting for? Now, not to heap praise on myself, because I'm not the only one who saw this coming. The president indicated as of day one, even before day one, as president of the United States. His character was right there for everybody to see. He hasn't changed. He was dishonest. He is power hungry. He has no self-control. He has, in fact, open contempt for the people of the United States of America. This is a very dangerous person. I said so. I called into question his mental acuity. And I say that because if I could spot it, everybody could spot it. But they stood by and allowed this man greater and greater latitude to do whatever comes to his mind. And we see the result of it. And he continues without resistance. We have to ask ourselves some questions here. Is this okay by you? Is this the United States of America that you imagined would be at this stage of development now, after all these hundreds of years, that it can't figure out the logical thing to do, how to solve a problem, like Donald Trump? My God. So we're hurtling now toward a war, which he has justified. But it's not because he's principled, and it's not because, you know, we have a breach of conduct so grievous that in the interest of world safety, we have to do something. But that tells you again, it calls for bringing people together and sounding out the ideas and the opinions that they have. It is so wild. I shudder as I talk about it. Some guy gets up in the morning, he's in a foul mood, and he's thinking, what can I do to upset as many apple carts as possible? Just to keep them on their toes. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll have tens of thousands of people's sons and daughters shipped way across the world, supposedly to protect Saudi Arabia, which has more money than you could shake a stick at. And if it can't, it certainly has the attention of the world. It could make its case in a world context. But that's not the way these people are thinking. They'll never think that way, because their mentality is about me. They're not thinking, Trump is not thinking of Americans. He's thinking about himself, his children, his or senior advisors. He's thinking essentially about his interests. That's it. And whatever he has to do to prevail in securing his interests, he'll do that. Right now, he's breaking the law. And what is bothering me is that this Congress, made up of all these lawyers and legislators, can't seem to get to square one about how you tame this beast. They're there arguing among themselves about fine points and does this mean this and does that mean that? And half, if not more than half, of this man's presidential term has already elapsed. This is how much time and how much space they have given this president to be lawless and reckless with this country. Acting as if it's his personal possession. He doesn't have to account to anybody for what he does, nor does he have to have any particular responsibility for the consequences for his actions. Like I said, the intention is to send soldiers to Saudi Arabia. Why? A simple question like that we haven't had answered. Why is it that the United States has to send its sons and daughters way across the planet, supposedly to shore up democracy? That same tired line that we get all the time. And there isn't a riot in Congress over this. This is not about consulting Congress. You have no right to do that. To singly assume the authority to do that. You can't do that. But there are so many things that a president is not allowed to do that Trump has done in front of their faces, in front of all of our faces, and he has gotten away with it. So there's something wrong here. Our brains need to be rewired. We have punked out big time. And the sales pitch now is, well, you could do something about it if you vote right. That's democracy. You just vote the people you want, and that would solve a problem. But in the meantime, I'm doing what I want to do. And you're not doing anything, and you're not inclined to do anything. Trump has no real opposition in this country. Despite the fact that he has put it smack in the middle of all kinds of crazy stuff that would not work out in our favor. You're giving your pals the benefit of, you know, retracting hard-fought restrictions on pollution and coal and all these kinds of... You're reversing everything because you know these people. You're in it with them. Why do we need a clean environment? Deal with that 10 years from now when I'm gone, out of office. But in the meantime, I need to make money. And the members of Congress are twiddling their thumbs and they're talking about the details. you know, what do we do? You have a law degree, damn it. You supposedly know these things. You've been in Congress for a long time. You mean to tell me, among all these people in Congress, we can't find not even a good dozen sharpshooters here who could sit down and come up with an ironclad document and then push it through? We can't do that. Then all of you need to go. You all need to go. There are people pushing in the Democratic field. They're pushing for the president's recall, as it were, to get him out of office. And we have none other than the leader of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, sitting like a queen. She is not to be disobeyed. She does not favor these things at all. She does not favor impeachment. Not at this time. Well, at what time? And why are you fighting the members of your party and forbidding them practically to proceed with impeachment? Why are you obstructing democracy? What is it that they have on you, Ms. Pelosi, that suddenly you become so intimidated, you become so careful, that you don't want to make a mistake? That's what you say. Nobody wants you to make a mistake. That's why you have hundreds of other Democrats who you can easily consult with. Are we making a mistake or are we not making a mistake? They are carrying out the wishes of the people. The people say, this time, this guy has got to go. He's really antithetical to democracy. And he has committed many infractions and crimes. He has got to go. You stand there alone on your, you know, your mountain of justice, and you pronounce that you fear the impact that impeachment would have on the fragile nerves of the population. Did you fear it when they impeached Richard Nixon? This is part of governance. This is what you have to do. When people are found to be so egregious to what was agreed upon as the shared interests of the people. And you are going to insist, even now, you're not budging. Well, then be prepared. People should just roll right over her. This is what the people want. You are there to do what the people want. You are not there to be the sole. You're protesting. You're the only one protesting the limited intelligence of the population. You have infinite intelligence, and you have the answer. The answer is, it is not wise to impeach Donald Trump at this time. Well, it seems wise to him to break the law at this time. He thinks it's very wise. If he doesn't break the law now, if he doesn't make the money now, when is he going to make it? when he further deteriorates or when he leaves office. So things are wrong here. So I thought that we should have a kind of broader discussion today. Because in the end, it comes down to what is this thing that we call democracy? The people are demanding movement in one direction. You unilaterally, just as Trump unilaterally does what he wants, Ms. Pelosi unilaterally has decided what ought to be done. Even though the vast majority of Democrats are now saying, we have to do something, we must respond. And the only choice that we seem to have that would be effective is impeachment. You're saying, no, there will be no impeachment. You go to hell because you're wrong. That's not the democratic process. And she's just as resolute about it. And the members of Congress, who should be at this point completely immersed in all the fine details, since they're all such great lawyers and former legislators and now in different arenas, but now they're in Congress where they can do something, and they're being stymied by their own party. This is insane. So I ask you, think about it for a second, and let's talk about this business of what is this thing that we call democracy? If it's working like this, if the very idea of democracy is itself in need of fixing. Because a lot of people, myself included, you're operating on certain assumptions about democracy as we have learned it to be. But the actions of the party itself, and not just the Democratic Party, but all the parties, are telling us that these notions that we have of democracy, they don't apply. We're living in two entirely different worlds. So do we need to recalibrate this thing? When the president is putting the country in jeopardy right now as we speak, contemplating launching a war, which quickly will become a world war, asking nothing of Congress, doesn't come before Congress as he's required to make the case, doesn't care to know what the people think. We have the Democratic leadership arbitrarily saying, I'm against impeachment. And therefore, it is said with the full weight of the law, she is not to be questioned. She is not to be opposed. There is to be no opposition to what she has, the position she has taken. I have to ask, are these things democratic? Are these things to be expected as part of the democratic, small d, democratic process? When they're showing us blatantly and without apology or without accountability, that technically, they do what they want. And there's nothing we can do about it. That's what it comes down to. We'll take this break. and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. I don't hear anything. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about this, what I believe is an open and blatant challenge, not just to our notion of democracy, but what has clearly been defined constitutionally as some of the things that we should expect to happen in a democracy, as and we loosely call them rights, but this is what is not happening. And it is a frightening thing to be a citizen of this country at this time, because it seems as if recklessness abounds. And we, the people, have no way of containing the craziness that we are seeing every day. It's about people doing whatever they want, and we will have to just live with it. 888-874-4888. E from Edgewater, you start us off today.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks. We're hanging in there. I think it's like you say, it's all about money, you know? They can get people to be manipulated by the stuff that they say. You know, I'm talking Donald Trump. And they can make a lot of money through the press. And you know, I'm sure the United States and Israel would love to see a war happen between Saudi Arabia and Iran. You know, that would benefit United States and Israel, I'm sure, while they're busy warring with each other. Democracy is a word, and it's just for the rich. Ever since one group of people thought they were better than the rest of the people, and we've had slavery, and it's been going on for thousands of years. It wasn't something that was created and then abolished. Just been going along. There's different levels of slavery. Some slavery is brutal, and some slavery is just a subtle thing that you don't even realize that you're a slave, you know, because you have a job and you make money and you buy a house and you go on vacation, but you're still a slave. You're a slave to the system that wants your money into their pockets. So they give you some money and then they take it back through slavery. Well, they got us to believe in breakfast, lunch, and dinner because that's how they would make lots of money, selling us this food that you eat, consume on for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, we don't need three meals a day. You only need maybe one a day. Maybe we should only eat 6 days a week and fast on the seventh day. I just said a lot of stuff, but it's all has to do with what's going on in the world today.
All right, you got us started. Thank you very much for calling in. Ed from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay.
This has never been a democracy. At its best, it's been a republic. It was started by a bunch of elite individuals who didn't want to pay taxes, who didn't want to pay tribute to the queen or to the crown. And it's been that way ever since. There have been moments when the public has become aroused enough, when the public has become educated enough and couldn't stand enough, where things have been forced to change. But we've reached a point of apathy in this country. Americans have no skin in the game. And I say that as being part of this society and having lived outside this society in the service of this country for over 5 or 6 years and traveling. Americans don't take part in their own existence. And I've been guilty of it too. But you've got to become aware of your surroundings and what's going on. This man is doing criminal activity blatantly. And he's not the first to do it. I believe he's the most, in my lifetime, he's the most open with it and the most honest with it, if that's any credit for whatever credit it was. But the people are accepting it. You know, you gotta look at China. You gotta look at France. You gotta look at people get out in the streets. They stop this mess. They get out. They stop the means of production. Stop the elite from making money. And that's the only way you're going to get a change. Frederick Douglass said, power exceeds nothing without a demand. And this man is just running rampant over everything. And this country looks like fools. The Senate, the Congress, they're all weaklings, cowards. And it's just a joke. And until the people get fed up with this crap and step forward, it's going to be this way. And that's the only thing that's going to stop this. Because the politicians, the quote-unquote government, has no testicular fortitude to step up to the plate. They just don't.
Do you feel that this is a very a dicey period for this country based on what the observations you just offered?
Well, no question. I mean, if you want to draw a comparison, I'm an average student of history. Look at Hitler. I mean, not to exaggerate. Look how he took over. Look how the Nazi regime took over. Look how it destroyed the internal government. Look how he used political manipulation. The Nazi Party even used to give out radios, small green radios they would give you a free radio. The only station you could hear was Hitler talking. The same thing like Twitter, you know, direct access to the population, direct access to your quote-unquote base. This guy gets on Twitter, he usurps the common media channels and puts his message out there. This man announces war on Twitter. I mean, come on. You know, if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be hysterical. It's like an old Saturday Night Live skit. Or something out of Mad Magazine. And the people have to get aware, because this sets a standard for the next person who sits in that office. And the more he is allowed to manifest this behavior, the next person is going to do twice as worse. You know, heaven forbid, because he's already lowered the standard.
Very much so. And what we get, you know, at least from the outside, if you look at it from a big picture standpoint, it's a lot of people just, I don't know, they're just walking around in circles, but we're not moving forward on anything.
Well, you're dealing with an absolute, what I believe is a saturation of corruption. It started with Reagan, and it's been moving that way ever since. The opting out of labor, the opting out of rights, the opting out of freedom of the press. It's all been going on in the pursuit of money, in the pursuit of capital, in the pursuit of temporary power. And this is what we've reached. We've allowed the standard and the model of society to become so low. The only common denominator is who's got the money. Or as some people say, I'm going to get the bag. I'm going to get this money no matter what. No matter who gets, you know, there's no more humanity. There's no more common decency. There's no more morality. There's no more, you know, used to be ashamed of things. Used to be ashamed to do certain things. You know, are you crazy? That's a shame. You know, don't do that. And that shame kept you from stepping over the line. And now it's gone. And I don't feel I'm exaggerating. It's gone. It's gone. The idea of moral perpetuity, the idea of a higher standard is totally gone in this country, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks so much for your contribution today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
I want to get right to the point. The people that live in the United States have been at war since its very inception. And they're at war today, and many people here don't understand that they are in a class war that is ongoing all over the country. The ruling class, they are the people that run the country. The idea of democracy was never in the head of those slaveholders who created a constitution. Slaveholding people created a constitution, and their idea was not to make it a democracy that benefited the people who work there, who live here. We know very clearly that they engineered the genocide of the indigenous people down to a fraction of the numbers who were here when they got here from Europe. They maintained the slavery because that was part of the bargain with the Constitution. And there's nothing in the Constitution that talks about democracy. Now, if we go fast forward to today, people need to get it in their head that the people in those positions, such as Congress, the representatives of the House and the Senate, do not work for us, the people. They work for those who rule. And, you know, we have to get that in our head. So Nancy Pelosi and the other one, Mr. McConnell in the Senate, they are working for those who rule. Those are the very top, the oligarchs, the plutocrats. The whole operation in the Congress at all levels of the state and city, they operate at the, for the most part, for the benefit of those who rule at the very top. They're not here to make life good for the masses of people who are here. Now, the current controversy or current happenings, let's say, with the Saudi Arabian dictatorship, our absolute monarchy, is having a war or attacking the people of Yemen. So I don't think it's strange for the people of Yemen to retaliate and to defend themselves by attacking the enemy. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that by having his little war, he is helping those at the top who rarely rule. They get rich. When you have a war, the ruling class that controls the so-called defense industry or war industry and all the things that go along with it, their profits go up by making things and providing contracts. So we know that President Trump has some very odious things that he says and does, but he has been very good with his people at the top in terms of the tax breaks he's giving them. And all over the country, we have a situation where the ruling class is maintaining itself on a massive welfare system at the expense of the people. You can go to every state. You can look it up and find out all the things that states do to enrich those at the top, the subsidies, the infrastructure development, the breaks that are given in taxes to the corporations. Everything is geared towards enriching those at the top and impoverishing those at the bottom. So the idea that you have democracy, which does not exist, and is ridiculous. It's a matter of propaganda. You know, Bernay, who invented this propaganda system, I'm sure he talked about just lie long enough and people believe it. You can keep saying democracy, 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 and after a while, people actually believe that you have it when you don't have it at all. If you had it, people wouldn't be poor, people wouldn't be homeless, people would have a more joyful life than you have here. So this illusion that we're about democracy and those people in legislative positions working for us, let's forget about it. They don't work for you. They work for the people at the top, and we got to have it through our heads that that's the way it is. So there's no way that they're going to voluntarily do things that benefit the masses of people. This place is about benefiting the ruling class and the ruling class as much as it can and doing what it can with their chief technique, which is divide and conquer. That's the only way that they can do this, is divide people up, and they have their signature a method of doing that, which is this white supremacy, racism, plus all the other ways they have to slice it up so you keep people weak by dividing them and making them ignorant, not educated, ignorant. So when they're ignorant, they don't know what's happening to them. So you have all these incredibly stupid people going around burying folks and writing so-called manifestos and whatnot. Total ignorance. And that's what's going on. The only way you can do that is keep people ignorant and divide them up as much as you can.
No question. We do have to get, and very soon, we do have to get serious about what seems to be a malaise, a lack of power and will to confront, I mean, openly confront this and call it what it is. This situation in Congress right now, where, you know, with all the brain power that allegedly resides there, it makes no sense to me that we cannot get to first base on corralling this president and forcing a fight. And the fight should be very clear about who actually runs this country. What is this thing that you keep talking about as democracy? And let's be clear that the people have it too. They have democracy, and they should fight to protect it. Thanks so much, David, for your call today. Ma'at, you are bringing up the rear. You're on the air.
Greetings, beloveds. Since it's a short time, let me just make this quick point. and to Ditto, Ed, and David, is that I heard this caller, probably following up on the so-called climate change, the point I made around metaphysics and people not understanding what's happening to the masses of people around the world. And he came on and he said, apathy and phoniness. That's it. So the apathy is around all the cover-ups, whether it's September 11th, 01, or the various assassinations, MLK and many others. And the apathy keeps the cover-up continued about David's point about the fact that, is this a democracy? What does that mean? And the phoniness. These Christians that basically don't believe anything in terms of the Sermon on the Mount or Matthew. I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, doing just the opposite.
They don't believe one of the Sermon on the Mount.
That's correct. You know, help the stranger, feed the hungry, house the homeless, et cetera, basically, is what is said. And in Trump, in the person of Trump, I mean, he's just going in the exact opposite direction of anything that's so-called Christian principles.
What is it that you personally feel at this time about your relationship as just one person to this apparatus called government?
Well, I'm at the point now, as alarming and as everything is, I'm at the point of staying calm and centered, because you think that Trump couldn't go any lower at any particular point, but that is never the case. I mean, you know, it's always lower, it's always more vulgar. I mean, this guy can't even speak in coherent sentences. When you hear these pundits say, oh, he's against war, I mean, this is someone who's a liar, so why would you paint him as someone who's against war and interference? All he knows how to do through his tweets and his asshole mouth is war.
Well, we have to leave it there because we're out of time today, but thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you all for your contribution today. And we have to keep talking about this because whether we are aware of it or not, at some point you will find it wearing on you. It really will be irritating you, and we have to take a look at that. Thanks again. We'll join each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.